So there's only text 6 on the verse. Yashanyadapi Krishnasya Bhavam Bhagavata Prabhu Shravashishrava Shahunyam Urvadeha Katashrayam I'll do the word for word. Yat, which, cha, and anyat, other, api, certainly, krishnasya, of Krishna, bhavan, your good self, bhagavata, the supreme personality of Godhead, prabhu, powerful, Shrava, various activities. Shrusavasa, who is very pleasing to hear about. Punyam, pious. Purvadeha, of his previous incarnation. Tata Ashrayam, connected with the narration. Bhaktaya, unto the devotee. Me, Trimi, Anuraktaya, very much attentive. Tava, of you. Cham, and Adoksajasya, of the Lord who is known as Adoksaja. Cha, also. Vapsumaharsi, please narrate. Ya, one who. Aduhyat, milk, Vaina Rupena, in the form of the son of King Vaina. Gam, cow, earth. Imam, this translation and prayer. Sri Maharaj was a powerful incarnation of Lord Krishna's potencies. Consequently, any narration concerning his activities is surely very pleasing to hear. And it produces all good fortune. As far as I'm concerned, I'm always your devotee as well as a devotee of the Lord, who is known as Adoksaja. Please therefore narrate all the stories of King Kritu, who in the form of the son of King Vaina milked the cow-shaped earth. Lord Krishna is also known as Avatari, which means one from whom all the incarnations emanate. In Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Lord Krishna says, Aham Savasya Prabhavo Matan Savam Prabhatate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Thus, Lord Krishna is the origin of everyone's appearance. As far as this material world is concerned, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva are all emanations from Krishna. These three incarnations of Krishna are called Guna Avatars. The material world is governed by three material modes of nature, and Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva respectively take charge of the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Maharaj Prithu is also an incarnation of those qualities of Lord Krishna by which one rules over conditioned souls. In this material world, the word adokshaja, meaning beyond the perception of the material senses, is very significant. No one can perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead by mental speculation. Therefore, a person with a full fund of knowledge cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since one can form only an impersonal idea on the strength of one's material senses, the Lord is known as adokshaja. Om Ekyana Tsumarani Sathana Shalakaya Chakshumi Tanina Tasana Shiva Vedaha Shinta Tanya Vanoda Sam Saki Tanya Bhutale Sram Bhakada Mayam Tadati Shapanjikam Pancha Kapa Tula Shah Tupasim Vedaha Patitanam Pavne Vivashta Bhumi Mamaha Jai Shri Krishna Deva Prabhu Nichananda Shri Arvita Gadadha Shiva Sadhu Guru Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna. No, it's okay. I'll figure it out. Hare Krishna. So, somehow my nose manifested legs and they ran off. So, well, highly depend on Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. This chapter entitled Maharaj Prithu Becomes Angry at the Earth. And if we look back at the previous text, we can understand why Mother Earth had been withdrawing and not giving forth plenty of bounty due to the previous actions of King Vaina, who happens to be Prithumaraja's father. So at the time, the Brahmanas were not permitted to perform their ritualistic sacrifices. They weren't able to perform their yagyas, and their resources taken away due to the powerful impact of King Vaina, and this is why he was replaced by the Brahmanas, and his son Prithviraj and his good wife had been placed in charge of taking care of the citizens. So, as we know, in a personalized philosophy, there is personality even behind the existence of the material world. So even the earth, the sun, the moon, the rain, there is a presiding deity that is given responsibility over different elements. And because of that, certain sacrifices have to be performed to show respect, homage, and to receive blessings, to be able to have this reciprocal relationship between the conditioned souls, the powerful devatas, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because this was lacking, so Mother Earth withdrew her resources, and hence there was an over-accumulation of rogues and thieves, and a lack of care for these citizens, both materially and spiritually. So the state of affairs was pretty much what we see in the modern day. There are leaders who are not looking out for the interest of all citizens. Maybe 1% benefit immensely, while the rest of the population, which includes animals, all species of life actually, are considered praja, or citizens. Oftentimes when I drive over the bridge, I see trucks carrying different types of livestock, and it's not because, you know, they're giving them greener pastures. It is for other reasons that these animals are being transported. Everything from sheep and cattle, of course, pigs, sometimes chicken. So this is not for their benefit, unfortunately, and this is going on a large scale. So this is an unfortunate affair. Which begins with the top, and once the head of society actually has no regard for all citizens, that type of thinking and mentality trickles down to the common citizens, because whatever actions they perform, common people will follow their activities, as Krishna has mentioned in Bhagavad Gita as well, with the verse beginning, Yajyat Acharti Srishtas. That whatever activities these great leaders perform, common people will follow suit, thinking it is the right thing to do. And that is why Srila Prabhupada in his purports, especially the Vedic texts themselves, speak of how actually the Brahminical class are the head of society. They were the ones actually in charge, because they're the ones giving good governance and advice to the monarchs, or the kings and the rulers, on how to best take care of their citizens. We can see that nowadays we might have not have kings, but we have prime ministers or presidents, and the members of the clergy, we could say, the prime ministers, your politicians, who are supposed to be advising their leaders on how best to take care of their citizens, whether it is financially, providing education, providing the basics, eating, how people live, etc. So that's also going on in modern times, but we can see just how difficult it is to satisfy everybody when the people at the top are not so neutral and are not so knowledgeable about taking care of all the citizens. So in this verse, who is speaking? It is Maitreya and Madhura, I think, this particular verse. And this purport opens up by quoting the verse 10.8 in the Bhagavad Gita. And in 10.8, Krishna is establishing how he's the source of all things material and spiritual. Aham sabasya prabhu mata sarvam pravartate iti madhva prajantina ura bhava samanvitaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So in this purport, Prabhupada speaks about how Krishna is the source of everything, including the demigods. He gives verses or quotes from the different Upanishads, from the Narayana Upanishads, from the Maha Upanishads, from the Moksha Dharma, that explains how even the demigods, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they are born from Narayana. The son of Devaki Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. And then it is also said, Eko vai Narayan asinna brahma nisanun napo nagni sumau neme dhyava prithivi nanakshatrani nasurya. In the beginning of creation, there was only the supreme personality, Narayan. There was no Brahma, no Shiva, no water, no fire, no moon, no heaven and earth, no stars in the sky, no sun. So it makes a strong point about Lord Narayan being the creator, the primary creator of everything, the origin of everything, and how these different devatas that have come into being, whether it's Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, the Vasus, or the Adityas, or the sages, they are all coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in essence, Krishna is the origin of everyone's appearance. Everyone from Lord Brahma down to the insignificant ant. In terms of how the material world is comprised of the different energies, the different shaktis, we are marginal potency, of course, we're tatastha. We are superior energy encaged in an inferior energy. And that is why we have become forgetful of our constitutional position. And the material world and how it is set up, the whole aim of the material world is to quickly give us the realization of how this is not our original environment. It is really not for us to become punished and rot in hell, as some scriptures explain it, that this, we're meant to have this one life and we are here to suffer for eternity. This is not the case, because we were given ample opportunities to hear about Krishna, whether it's through his books, through the devotees that he sends, and through the pastimes that he has performed. So in this verse, we are hearing about how Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Vishnu are all emanating from Krishna, and how they are given the potency and shakti to govern the three modes of material nature. Krishna himself directly does not deal with the modes, but through his different energies, through his different potencies, or through the living entities that he empowers, they are able to conduct the affairs of the material world and deal and govern the conditioned souls. So similarly, Prithvi Maharaj is an incarnation of that potency of the Lord to govern the conditioned souls. So he's being reinstated as the king so that he can properly govern and take care of his praja, his citizens. So the main difference, of course, although Prithvi Maharaj is in one of the purports later on, we'll hear how Prithvi Maharaj is a Shaktiyavesh incarnation of Lord. He is being given special potencies and encouraged by the Supreme Lord to perform this service, yet he does not forget that he is a servant of the Lord. He himself takes shelter of Sanat Kumar as a spiritual master and gets guidance on how to rule the citizens. So he accepts a guru and he sees himself as a servant. He doesn't just see himself as an empowered incarnation. He never forgets that I'm also a servant of the Lord. No matter how great or no matter how many opulences he has or how much shakti he has, still the fact remains, and he tries to live by that. He is a servant of the Lord. And I find that to be a contrast between the modern day gods, so to speak. Oftentimes they do not see themselves as servants of God. They see themselves as God, and therefore they do not need to submit to anyone. So I thought that was quite interesting. Here we have Prithvi Maharaj, who is decorated with so many virtuous qualities, but always reminds himself that he is a servant of the Lord. No matter how powerful he may become, still that realization stays with him. And this is why later on we will hear the story of how Lord Indra got a little bit intimidated as Maharaj Prithvi was about to perform the Ashwamedha Yagya. He was worried that this personality seems to be powerful and hence he's able to perform this yagya, and that is why he will try to steal one horse. So this is how powerful Prithvi Maharaj was, and his power is always coming from the Supreme Lord. Even Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Vishnu, they have their origins as well. In the different aspects of the Vedic texts, whether it is your Upanishads, Srimad Bhagavatam, different history books explain how Krishna is the source of all these demigods. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada 2.10.8 explains how Lord Krishna is the source of all generations and he's called most efficient because of everything. He says, because everything is born of me, I am the original source of everything. Everything is under me, no one is above me. So this is a strong point that with the different devatas who are in charge, sometimes momentarily the opulence might obscure their vision, and they too might also forget that they're servants of the Lord. You know, the famous Brahma Vimohana Leela, where Lord Brahma minimizes the position of Krishna, whether it's voluntary or involuntary, but he's not able to go above the Leela of Krishna, where Krishna is just a cowherd boy, not able to separate how Krishna can have all these different relationships with different devotees and still be the supreme. So Lord Brahma was a little bit forgetful in that state. Lord Indra as well is forgetful sometimes of the potency of Krishna, especially when we see Krishna performing his pastimes. The tattva kind of becomes blurred. They just look at Krishna's rasas and think, how is it possible that a cowherd boy holding yogurt in his left hand with some chipped rice is the supreme, is above me? So Krishna's rasas sometimes are misunderstood, and the tattva aspect is a bit obscured or blurred. So it's always important for us as well that we understand the supremacy of Krishna, that we also have some awe and reverential understanding of God Almighty. And that's why we have, even in different religions, we have this majesty about the Supreme Personality. It's all-powerful, omnipresent, omnipotent, so that we become respectful. We do not take this personality cheaply. If we just think he's lying down by the banks of the river Yamuna playing with his friends, you might think this is not God. It's just silly stories or folklore at best. But when we understand the majesty, simultaneously the sweetness of the relationships with different devotees, then everything can be put into perspective. Another point that I thought was worth mentioning is that previously we read about the four bona fide sampradayas. Sampradaya coming from Lord Brahma, from Lakshmi, from Lord Shiva, and from the four Kumaras. And how it is important that one who is on the path take shelter of a school of thought that is bona fide, that has lineage, that is not just made up overnight. And in one of the purpose, Prabhupada explains that even though one might chant mantras, they will not be able to be as potent as they are in this Kali Yuga if they do not come in a bona fide sampradaya. And we see this quite often. So many people I meet are chanting Gayatri mantra, they're chanting so many mantras they get from this guru or that swami or this god. But you can see the potency of the mantra has not aroused a desire to adhere to a certain lifestyle of hearing and chanting about the Supreme Being. There has not been a change, an internal change, to arouse them to live according to what the mantras they give them tell them to do. So the practice and the lifestyle do not go hand in hand. And there's so many cheating and bogus institutions out there. It's important for us to know that there are bona fide sampradayas. We are coming from the line of Lord Brahma, but there are other sampradayas from Lakshmi, the four Kumaras, and Lord Shiva, and they should be respected as long as you adhere to the proper practice. We're not here to criticize people, but we must also know that there are other sampradayas out there, upper sampradayas, sampradayas that are not bona fide, that are manufactured to cheat people. It's a huge business. Even in back home, there are so many churches, so many, we call them New Age churches. They just pitch up a huge tent, a marquee, and the priests, they come out in the finest clothing, and they have their own personal jets, they have an entourage, and they're preaching, it's very universal principles, happiness, love, respect, God, all the things that are very basic. But they are themselves self-made in the sense that they do not adhere to a past teacher, or they do not adhere to a school of teachers. They are their own institution. And they amass great wealth, much to the dismay of many citizens, and a lot of cheating propagation going on. And some of them is, you know, you'd be shocked that people do attend these places and they are heavily influenced by these cheating institutions. Right, so many people go there. A friend of mine who I grew up with ended up being one of the priests there. And I see just how much he's changed. And it's honestly, it's, some may be genuine, but it's a lot of cheating. Right, you line up, you get a blessing, and the kind of blessings you get, it's very strange. You can get a slap, and then you fall down, then you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Or they take off their jackets and they wave it around and everyone falls back and oh, they've been hit with the Holy Ghost. Like from the back it looks very strange. Right? It's not like they're waving, they have some holy water sprinkling. It's just strange. Whereas I look back at our practices here of dancing and chanting, we're chanting for Krishna, we're dancing for Krishna's pleasure, we sit and hear about Krishna, and it is based on age-old philosophy. It's not something that is manufactured, it's something that has, there is a science behind it. So when we read the Bhagavad Gita, people who have gotten in touch with Bhagavad Gita, they say, this is Ralph Waldo Emerson, one of the great people who ever ruled the United States of America. I owe a magnificent debt to the Bhagavad Gita. It was the first of books. It was as if an empire spoke to us, nothing small or unworthy, but large, serene, consistent, the voice of an old intelligence, which in another age and climate had pondered and thus disposed of the same questions with which exercise us. So the Bhagavad Gita, books like Srimad Bhagavatam, they're not books that just sprung up today or 100 years ago. The Bhagavad Gita, as Krishna explains, he spoke it to the sun god, and it was spoken to the sun, who had spoken it, who you can trace the lineage back. So it didn't erupt over time, and we're very fortunate that we're hearing about personalities like Prithu Maharaj, who is empowered by the Lord to govern the citizens, who are conditioned souls. Just like the guna avatars are governing the material world in place of the Supreme Personality of God. Krishna is not directly affected by matter, so he empowers living entities to govern the material world, which is meant for conditioned souls to redeem themselves and remember their relationship with Krishna. So it is a tough service. And similarly, Prithu Maharaj is given that same service to govern the conditioned soul so that they make material and spiritual advancement. No one can perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead by mental speculation. Therefore, a person with a profound of knowledge cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sometimes we may think we give people so many books they might not read. We ask people to hear about Krishna. They don't want to hear about Krishna. But when they hear anything about Krishna, they're very, very quick to criticize because they still have not grasped. Their minds are not fertile enough to hear about Krishna or to receive the knowledge about Krishna. And sometimes whatever you might say, even if it's something simple, like we're not the body, we're spirit souls within the body, sometimes it's very difficult for people to even comprehend. Because we live in a world where we're taught seeing is believing. I see my body, I am my body. I enjoy with my body. My feelings, my emotions, everything is coming with my body. So to try and step out of that little box takes a lot of effort. When we're steeped in material condition, it takes a lot of effort. And that's why sometimes we have to go through trials and tribulations. And that's why we're in the material world. The material body will give us trials and tribulations. We're all born. That was a tribulation in itself. Right? The birth canal is tough. That's why we don't remember it. Right? The trauma of it, you don't remember. And then we have to grow up and deal with teething and puberty and being in this world and deal with other minds affected by the modes, deal with our mind affected by the modes. So we deal with the adhyatmika, adhidevika, and adhibhautika aspect of being in the mature world. And that's not easy. We have to deal with all of that. And that's where the question comes in, oh, if God was love, he wouldn't allow so much suffering. And one comes up all the time. Why is there so much suffering if God is love? Well, the child goes through suffering. It doesn't mean the parents don't love the child. But the child sometimes suffers. They have fevers. They get sick. They go through life. They fall over. So many things happen. But it doesn't mean the parent does not love the child. Or when the child misbehaves and you take away a toy, or you ignore the bad behavior or the tantrum to teach them a lesson, it doesn't mean the mother or the father does not love the child. If most of you are parents, you know by now when a child is screaming for attention, when they're just wasting their breath, or when something is seriously wrong. There's a certain type of scream, and a parent has that ear for it. Okay, something is wrong, or they're just, you know, mucking around. So I work with children 4 days a week, and I can spot it from a mile away. Okay, this one is really not being serious right now. And yesterday, it's quite interesting because you get instant realizations about my behavior in Krishna consciousness and what a child behaves like. Oh, I didn't get my help with this bee. Why am I not getting attention? What's going on? Right? You look at the behavior of children. We're big children, actually. We're big children. They just say it like it is. We like to hide it and sugarcoat it and intellectualize our struggles, but it's the same thing. And so when a child was just throwing this tantrum, trying to get attention when they'd done something wrong. And there was a psychologist who's helping this child with dealing with their emotions. So the psychologist told us, just leave him, do not give him attention. He needs to learn to come to his senses. So he screamed, and we kept looking at each other like, what's going on? Like, we can't handle it anymore. And eventually he stopped. After 5 minutes, he stopped. He came and apologized and joined everybody else. So sometimes that's what happens. We're big children. When we don't get what we want from the material world, we have a fit. Why? Why me? Why? I'm a man. I'm a woman. I am this. I'm that occupation. I deserve. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I deserve. Why am I getting a tram ticket? Fine. I'm a Hare Krishna. I'm above the law. Where is Raj Prabhu? Help me with this ticket. Right, sometimes we throw that tantrum. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Why is this happening to me? It was never the guarantee Krishna gave in Bhagavad Gita that if you start chanting Hare Krishna, you will never get a ticket. You won't get a fine for anything. Park in front of the temple for as long as you want. You won't get a ticket. That was never the condition. The condition is once we perfect our hearing and chanting of Krishna's names, we go back to where Krishna is, never to return. That is what he stipulates. Everything else, there are laws abiding the material cosmos, and that law is going to act. We are all aging, all of us. The body, the material body, is aging. There is nothing we can do to stop it. It's just how it is. But we just make use of the time we have here. Be proactive instead of being reactive. So we proactively try to seek out hearing more and more about Krishna. We proactively try to grow in our Krishna consciousness. And that is the best option. We cannot escape the three modes of material nature. They are there. The times of the day, the modes are acting. The foods that we eat, there are the modes in there. The work that we do, everything is governed by these three modes. If we want to go above these modes, we need a system that is beyond the three modes of material nature. And gradually we can make progress. It's not an instant affair. Anything that is valuable, highly valuable, it takes time to reach maturity or get the perfection. You take something as great as, let's say, diamonds. Diamond is coal that has matured over time and put under pressure. And then it gets thrown in to get cut. Right, and the end result is a beautiful, sparkling piece of, you know, a jewel. But the process to get there takes time and effort and heat and discomfort. But the end goal is always to produce that wonderful jewel. So the end goal for us in the conditioned world, where we have the three modes of material nature enacting on us, each mode trying to become more dominant than the other, our best bet is to try to stay true to a bona fide sampradaya, a bona fide system of getting us above the modes of material nature. And that is why we follow this process of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Archanam Vananam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam. We try to follow this process and hopefully we'll be above the modes of material nature. And Krishna nicely explains that in the chapter entitled The Modes of Material Nature in Bhagavad Gita, where he explains the dominance of the modes and how to go above the modes by taking shelter of him. So Preeti Maharaj is giving us the perfect example. No matter how empowered we might be or how we may not be empowered, even if we're living in this conditioned world, we have the opportunity to make spiritual advancement by always thinking of the Lord and serving the Lord and remembering that at the end of the day, at the end of our lives, we are servants of Krishna, no matter what circumstances we are in. So we try to make rapid progress. So it is by Krishna's grace and his devotees that we can continue to hear these wonderful narrations. And I will stop there and ask if there's any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Comments about the last the awakening and the morning stage.
The awakening. What was that?
It was a morning edition conference for 3 days. Oh. Hundreds of thousands of people have gathered there.
Oh, from interstate, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There were like 10 speakers came out of the world. And you know Nick Vujicic? He's the guy with no limbs.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yeah, he was there. So the reason I'm saying because I was working all 3 days. And we were coming across trains full of young people late night going home. Hmm. And they were offering us tickets, free passes to go to the awakening home.
Free passes?
Free passes, yeah.
Interesting.
They paid 20 bucks. Each person went to the stadium, but they had been given free passes. So they had filled up half the stadium with all the youngsters and 6 to 8 hour sessions there. So two speakers, and they do awakening, they do purification, baptism, they do deliverance. That was one. Because I was asking a few of the mates who work with me who are body Christians. So they were all having hobbies. Massive conferences and music, obviously, a big part of that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I'll be part of that for a lot of
And sometimes I know I used to, it might be disheartening, oh, you know, we can't even fill up a Bhagavatam class in the morning with young people, and these people are filling up stadiums, etc. It might kind of be disheartening to the devotees, like, what are we not doing right, or what are we doing wrong, is it our branding, yada yada. It's a lot of things, but when speaking to people, I've always kind of seen a lot of people like quick fixes, and it's very difficult in the mature world sometimes to have that long-term vision of this is the rest of my life, Krishna consciousness, four regulated principles, chanting every day, reading the books, doing some service, going to pilgrimage, etc. So I know for a lot of people it's like, whoa, don't even mention anything about the four eggs or chocolate or coffee because it's an instant But so sometimes people want, there will be different people who really love Christ and want to be delivered. But when you look at the mass scale, sometimes people want something easy. And easy works. for a lot of them to commit to something long term. And quite honestly speaking, born again, you go, you get your baptism, you get dunked, you come out, go back to everything else you were doing. Right, whereas here, in the yoga text, the recommendation is the rest of your life. This is the beginning of the rest of your life, and that's intimidating for people. Because life in the material world takes away your ability to have that long-term vision of bhakti. It's just like, sure, I'm just going to do this for a year. I'm going to do this for 6 months. Take whatever I want out of it and then skedaddle. So it's hard for people. We shouldn't think, oh, we're wasting our time, but people do appreciate the hurries.
Yeah.
We're making our mark. But there's always, we should think there's always more that we can do. We should never think we're at our best. We'll never be at our best. We should always be thinking, what can we do next to reach people that who don't know anything about Krishna? Thanks for that comment. Yes, Maharaji?
I was thinking we can make our choices with our actions and what sense objects we desire to enjoy. That's how we will choose how much we will be influenced by the gunas. Because we are influenced by the gunas through enjoying the sense objects in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, and the mode of goodness. So when we enjoy, for example, if we watch a horror movie, or we eat meat, or we drink alcohol, we get attached to the mode of ignorance.
Yeah, we develop then, more desires for
then
that.
Then we will be influenced and controlled by the mode of ignorance. And it's very hard to escape.
Mm-hmm.
So by making our choices, our mind, our subtle body gets influenced by these modes.
Mm-hmm.
So we can make our choices
better.
Although we are here, we cannot avoid, for example, hurricane being outside, like a mode of ignorance, but we can make a choice being, but in us we can be afraid or not afraid. So inside we can be affected by that mode or we cannot be affected. And depends what we enjoy, what sense objects we enjoy, because that's how we get attached to the modes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why in Krishna consciousness we have all sense objects, we substitute it for transcendental sense objects and we transcend it.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, the one who, in Bhagavad Gita says, the one who knows what is the action in inaction,
action in inaction,
he can be free. And by knowledge we can severe our attachments and making proper choices.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, so our choices, we make better choices, we choose what we associate with, and to be in the lowest modes, you know, it takes considerable effort to try to come out of those modes. Everything from what we hear, if you go, like we were saying, music concert, if you're just hearing Def Leppard or, I don't know, Kiss, and it's grunge music, and it's just like... What do you think you're just going to sit in a half lotus and be peaceful? It arouses certain feelings, certain emotions, and certain actions.
It attaches to the mode, and then you are controlled by that mode.
Yeah, so when these feelings and emotions arise, it gives satisfaction, and you will run after that satisfaction. And if you don't get that satisfaction, that is how, you know, the anger arises, the attachment to the sense object. So most people sometimes think you become spiritual, you have to stop all desire, you have to stop enjoying, you have to stop being happy. Everything is just a sacrifice. But we're using the same body, we still have senses, but we're using them in a different way. And by feeding ourselves these spiritual sense gratification, our desires change, our choices change, who we associate with changes. And that is how we slowly move away from the modes towards transcendence. We evolve in that, I didn't grow up in Krishna consciousness, so I know everything and anything about enjoyment and trying to enjoy my senses. How easy it is to get sucked in and how difficult it is to try to get yourself out, because it's like a drug, it's like sugar. You keep wanting that sensation, that stimulus. And the more you go, the more you keep wanting. So you have to want to get out, otherwise it's like going to a dark well. It is difficult to crawl yourself out. It's possible. I crawled out. It's possible, but it is very, very difficult. So knowledge will help us make better choices. The right type of knowledge will help you make better choices for yourself. And that's why it's wonderful that we can have these discussions. We can share with whomever you need. The best thing is not to hide away from society, but to share with society a lifestyle that can actually work. And show through example, most of us work, whomever we meet, they ask us what we do over the weekend or this, so that we share with them. We can start from there. Okay, thank you very much for your attention. Grantavar Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.